Welcome to another Carlo and Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlo.
The Commonwealth Games, are they finished?
They have finished.
Yeah? How did Australia go?
How do you think they went?
I would suggest they would have been the top nation by a country mile.
Well, I wouldn't say a country mile. That we were the top nation again.
Yeah.
Who do you think came second?
England?
England were second. So if you go on medal count, 178 medals we won in total.
Yeah.
England won 76.
Oh, that was close.
And then Canada 92. Then India were fourth.
So how many did England win?
England 176 medals.
Right.
Now the key was we won 67 gold, 57 silver and 54 bronze, whereas England won a lot of silver medals.
Yeah. And let me guess. And
one of the commentators said, the thing I like about that was that meant that we beat them
a lot.
Multiple times.
So how many gold did England get?
I don't know.
But it would have been like 40.
I can't remember. I did look it up, but they were a fair way behind us in gold medals. We were probably a good 20 ahead of them.
Yeah. So obviously swimming would have been our main one.
Swimming was, we won 65 medals in the swimming.
Wow.
And so that was a big chunk of it. But we did, in athletics, for example, we actually won the athletics.
Yeah.
So against, which surprised me, I think, see, England, I mean, Great Britain, if you took in Scotland and Wales, it may be a different story, but Great Britain would probably normally beat us at things like Olympics and in track and field. But this time we actually won the track and field and did very, very well.
But don't forget, in the Commonwealth Games, it's not Great Britain, it's England and Scotland. And
that's what I mean. But England, they do put a lot of resources into track and field. So, normally I think England would beat us in the track and field, but we actually won that. So that was great. But I think I did write it down here somewhere. And also our para athletes also won. So the Commonwealth Games, as we talked about in our podcast before, combine the para athletes into the program, which is wonderful. But so they, obviously that all contributes to our medal count, but they, if you just looked at the para athletes, we won that with 35 medals and England was second with 32.
Wow.
So,
but we've always been good at the Paralympics, haven't we?
Well, I think we've been a country that has encouraged athletes with disabilities to compete and provide that opportunity, which has been wonderful. I mean, that's been like when I was a kid competing, you know, it's always been the case. So I think that's something where we've probably led the world.
Do you think now England, like you said, usually are better than Australia athletics, but do you think because of the COVID-19 in regards to how it affected England and how it affected Australia had an impact on that?
I think so. My wife Sharon and I were talking about that because we were surprised that some of the countries hadn't done as well. Even at the current World Championships, which are a couple of weeks prior, we finished sixth overall. And then we start thinking, well, some of the countries in Europe, for example, and other places were highly impacted by COVID, whereas, you know, people might have, I think there's been, people have complained about maybe how we went about our stuff here, but I think Australia did pretty well at containing the virus and yep. controlling it. So, you know, our death rate, for example, a number of people who infected is nowhere near the rest of the world. So it could have been made a big difference. But I think there has been a resurgence in our performances in athletics, especially in our women's events. So David Culbert, who was a good long jumper in his own right, is now commentating. He was commentating the athletics and he referred to it. He said, we're going to rename it Field and Track. Because a lot of our performances in the field were where we're winning medals.
But high jumping.
I'd also say that our middle distance has really sort of come of age as well.
Well, we've always been better at middle distance than sprints.
Yeah, and we've had a good run in historically, haven't we? But you'd probably say the last 15, 20, maybe 30 years we haven't had that real depth, but we seem to have that now. Like, did you see the men's 1500?
Yes, I was watching that.
That was a great race. And so Ollie Hoare coming through again, that I think broke the game's record. Peter Boll, of course, in the 800. We had the girls in the 1500 as well. We had three girls in there. And let me just check my, but Abby Caldwell won, she got the bronze, but yeah. We had two other girls in the final.
Yeah, she, we had the three girls sort of in that medal sort of hunt until the last lap, and then those other, the girls that come first and second sort of pulled away, but it was good to see her and come
she, her finish was fabulous, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, she finished came third and Australia finished fourth as well.
Yeah, yeah. So in the marathon, Jessica Stenson, South Australian, won the gold.
Good on you.
And Madison Di Rosaria in the wheelchair athlete, she won a gold in the marathon and also in the 1500.
Well, you know, so it's funny, some of my best memories of Commonwealth Games are like the marathon with Robert Di Costello and Lisa Ondieki and the 5000, of course, you know, with Andrew Lloyd. These are the ones that historically in my mind are the events, are my favourite events, plus I love the jumps.
Yeah, well, I wondered whether, because I know you loved Andrew Lloyd and his race, and that was probably, that was a very exciting race, but I did wonder whether you thought the Ollie Hoare race might be up there.
Well, look, I suppose you got ones that linger in your mind as favourites, and it would have to be above special to take that place. I mean, you know, it's funny how your memory sort of gets your thinking to be better than what it might have been at the time, but it's sort of it's a hard
the
one.
Story with Andrew Lloyd, though, his background story was
the car accident
that makes a yeah. difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, plus he was kind enough to come on our show.
That's true. But Ollie Hoare, like, again, I don't, he a lot of these athletes now have been to the through the American system,
yeah,
but college system, yeah, the college yeah. system, and he spoke really well, like, he just seemed like a really decent guy as well as obviously a really good athlete.
I've got a question in regards to the performance of Australia at recent sort of athletic events, like you had the Olympics last year, you had the World Championship, now the Commonwealth Games. Is it a two-edged sword, one that because of all the competition and a lot of Australians are starved of that international competition because of where we are, because we have so many major events in the last 12 months, was that an advantage? And the other side of the sword, do you think because there's been so much on that the Commonwealth Games lost a bit of its luster with people?
I don't know because if you – one of the things that people talked a lot about from watching were the spectators there. So Birmingham really got the – people really got behind the Commonwealth Games and they had big crowds. They were loving it. And so I think that's probably part of that over there because, again, they've now got that opportunity to be part of something. But they certainly supported the Commonwealth Games. I think it's – I mean, I'm biased, obviously, because I really value the Commonwealth Games from an athlete point of view. I understand that it's a different level of competition for different sports.
You know, I value it too as a sports lover.
I know, but some people in Australia like to criticise it. And I think some of that's to do with, again, things like, and I might be wrong here, but if, like, mate, football, for example, football commentators and people in AFL like to belittle things like the Olympics and Commonwealth Games. Why? Because it takes away from them at that particular time. And I always get a bit annoyed when I hear the football media, and let's be honest, most of our sporting media is run by people who have got a football background. It always bugs me when they sort of have a crack at Commonwealth Games or whatever because you think, you know what, I get it. You're the big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
And I'm not having a go because I love AFL. It's a great spectacle. It's a wonderful sport and has great athletes.
Port Adelaide?
No, Port Adelaide.
Oh, wasn't sure.
Yeah, just to put that clear for you. And so that bugs me because you go, you know, let's be honest, you guys, you're just playing one sport in one country and yes, you're the big dog, but don't denigrate the rest of the athletes who are, and you know, there's people out there, athletes who we'll never hear of again and never, we don't hear about what they're doing, but they're out there busting their butt, you know, 7 days a week training multiple times a day for nothing. And their Commonwealth Games may be their chance, like it was mine, to actually shine.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, you look at sort of in Australia, there's a football and cricket and the rugby in New South Wales and Queensland, but they're the big three sports in Australia in regards to how the media covers them. But I think it was really good when Stark, the cricketer, and Stark, his brother, high jumper?
Yeah.
It brought more of a focus into athletics and they were sharing the limelight between cricket athletics, which is the way it should be done. But like you said, with the football sort of commentary, it's more like, oh, yeah, but we are better than them.
Well, it's not always, but like if you listen to the radio, and it's like, again, it's like you listen to the local radio here and you've got your Crows players or Port players, whatever, and it's all that they want to have a bit of a laugh about stuff, and that they'll have their throwaway comments, which, yeah, you might get a bit of a laugh, but I think sometimes it can be a bit disrespectful. I know probably deep down they appreciate the work that all athletes do, but I do think sometimes there's a little bit of, hey, stay in your lane, Commonwealth Games, stay in your lane, Olympics, don't get in our way type of thing. But I think generally we do appreciate, like, it's going to be in Australia next time. And I think
Victoria.
Yeah, that's right. And it's going to be country Victoria. So I think when it comes back here, it will be a big thing. People will love it. People will get behind it.
I'm excited. I want to go.
Yeah, I want to go too. Like, it's, so why not? And so I think it's clear that when it's, you know, like all things have their place, and Commonwealth Games has its place, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And for some of the events, they are truly world class. I mean, like our middle distance runners are competing against a lot of the strongest African countries. I mean,
you got
the Jamaicans and the sprints, like in netball, for example, which we won again. Like, netball is pretty much Commonwealth sport.
Nations, yeah.
So there's sports there where we are playing. Hockey's another one, you know. So there's plenty of sports there where we're competing against the best in the world.
Yes.
And of course, some aren't, but. So that gives us that greater opportunity to get more medals and perform well.
I'll tell you a funny little story. We were talking about Great Britain before, and, of course, in Commonwealth Games, it's Scotland and England and Wales, et cetera. But did you know?
Cymru.
Okay, yep. We were talking.
I've got a Welsh mate here, and because see why.
Have we ever had him on our show?
Yes, we have, and he's a Port Adelaide supporter too. But he said, you wouldn't be surprised how many people ask me how you say Wales in Welsh.
All I can think of is a Cymru car, mate.
It's like that, but it's instead of Cam, it's Cymru.
No, I understand. Now, you know, with Sporting Memories, and we do Zoom meetings with the people over in Scotland, it's funny, they tailor a lot of their questions about Commonwealth Games, and they're not real up to the Olympics because Scots...
Well, they don't compete.
That's right.
And that's the thing. And that's what I really loved about watching. Again, I watched a fair bit of stuff, but I really obviously focused on the track and field. But... like Birmingham is close to Wales. I mean, it's a bit further away from Scotland. But the support for the Scottish and Welsh athletes, and even the Ireland athletes, was fabulous. Like they weren't just for the English athletes. And that's, in fact, I don't know if you saw that one, but Eilish McColgan. Did you see that girl in the 10,000 meters? She won it and broke the game's record. And her mum, who's her coach, but her mum had won that race before and raced twice in the Commonwealth Games.
Wow.
And then she came out and won the 10,000 against, and great race, like against this Kenyan girl. The last lap was unbelievable.
Is that the first time a mother and daughter have won the same event?
I'm not sure, but you'd have to think it wouldn't happen very often. No. But I thought that was a great story. Another funny story, because we're running it, getting close. There was, again, involving Scotland, and so I know you'd love it, but in the squash... A wife played a husband, Australian girl, Donna Lobben, and Cameron Pilley, who's her cousin, played mixed doubles against Greg Lobben and Lisa Aitken from Scotland. So husband and wife in opposite countries playing each other.
I don't really care who wins because Scotland is Australia won. And Australia.
And there was this funny story about the wife said, I don't think I'll sign the divorce papers.
You know, just quickly, when you were talking about the AFL, it's interesting. I was having a conversation on the weekend. I went to Adelaide Oval after the Crows played North Melbourne, and Centrals were playing the Crows. And this guy was talking to me because he knew that I was a baseball nut. He said, "Oh, the trouble with baseball, they think they're so good, they have the World Series, you know, for the Americas." And I said, "Well, Australia's not much better with the AFL, are they?" And it's a good point, isn't it?
It is, and you wouldn't be surprised. We could call the AFL the World Series, and we could do that because that's what it does happen. You know how many medals we won in how many sports won gold medals?
At a guess, I'd say 18.
15 different sports.
That's close.
15. So I think there's only 22 sports or something, but we almost won medals in every single sport.
What sport did we not win?
I don't know.
Sorry.
I thought that was pretty interesting. And they had 3-on-3 basketball, which has been sort of becoming more international.
What do you think of that?
I don't know. I mean, again, I didn't mind watching it. Like, it was quite – it was a different game, a very different game, but I didn't – I sort of got into it. A bit like the beach volleyball. I really like volleyball.
Me too. But
I didn't mind the beach volleyball. So you start, once you watch it, you sort of get into it. But I probably still prefer – yeah, I mean, and I don't want to – I mean, because it has its role now, but I do prefer probably – traditional basketball and volleyball. But anyway, but the other thing, Melissa Wu, she was our flag bearer at the closing ceremony. She won gold in the synchronized 10-meter board. Now, she's 30 years old. I mean, she's had a fabulous international career, and she partnered with a 16-year-old girl, and they actually won the gold medal in the 10-meter dive, synchronized diving, which was fabulous. And then she got offered to be the flag bearer at the closing ceremony.
Well done. Well, so ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.